Again, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning, and I know our brother has applied himself to be able to communicate to the Lord, to ask the Lord for the message of which he has to give to his children, and I know he has that desire, that diligence, and that perseverance through all the difficulties of life, and he's here today to be able to present that word. So without any further ado, I'm going to give you our brother and our apostle, Don McIndoe.
I know there's a button on there somewhere. It is a pleasure to be home. Jay and I enjoyed our visit to our members in California. It was, I thought, a good trip. We had some wonderful blessings with our people there. This morning I would like to use a scripture, a text, and it'll tell you about the subject. The text is found in the Book of Mormon. No need to look it up. It's too short. It's found in the Book of Ether, chapter 5. It said, something very clearly, something very simple, and yet, how important and how complicated and difficult it can be in our lives. But with the gift of his Son, God hath prepared a more excellent way. An excellent way. This morning, I would like to read a few scriptures. There won't be very many. Well, I'm not going to read them. Brother Gary's going to read them for me. He's going to help me. I can't read my scriptures anymore. I use my computer. That helps me. And I still need magnifying lenses to see it. But it is a pleasure to be able to talk to you about a more excellent way. My subject will be clearly given, I hope. In the scripture that our brother Gary is going to read in Philippians chapter 1, he's going to read verses 9 through 11.
In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
The Apostle Paul had a real desire for all the people of his church, that they would approve. It means that they would determine, that they would discern those things that are more excellent, those qualities of life that are more excellent, and put them into their lives. And of course, that's the hard part, putting them into our lives. I'd like to continue with some of the words of Joshua. At the end of the book of Joshua, he's speaking to the people of Israel. They've crossed the River Jordan. They've come in and they've struggled. They've had hard battles, difficulties establishing themselves in the land that God had given for them. And now he speaks to them. It's in chapter 24 of Joshua. We're going to read verses 14 through 17.
Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed.
Joshua was speaking to over a million people. And I'm sure he was pleased with their response. I'm sure the Lord was pleased with their response. But as the years went by, there were a lot of changes that took place in Israel, the Israelite people, in their way of life. At the end of the next book, the book of Judges, we read this. And in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. That sounds kind of familiar. Makes me think of philosophy of a lot of people in our country today. If it feels good to you, do it. But of course, that's the philosophy of our people here, the way of life. There are a lot of young people in our society today. I hope not in this room. But in our society, there are a lot of young people who have as their goals a good education, finding a good job that is steady, permanent, with good pay and benefits, buy a new car, and maybe above everything else, maintain my independence. The Apostle Paul was talking to the people of the Church of Christ so many years ago, and he told them, covet ye the best gifts, but yet I show you a more excellent way. He's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians had established the church, they had accepted the gospel. But then false teachers had entered in among them and began teaching them things of the world, began altering the words that they heard. And there were many of them who were discouraged and falling away. Covet ye the best gifts, and yet I show you a better way. And of course, that way was Jesus Christ. The qualities of excellence that he had in his life. But as we read in the Holy Bible, in the Book of Mormon, there were a lot of young people that stood out and were highly favored because they had placed qualities of excellence in their life. Back a number of years before the coming of Christ, young Daniel was carried away by the Babylonians in the captivity. To the Babylonians and then to the Persians. But you know, by the leaders of those nations who ruled, Daniel was looked upon quite favorably. And when you read the book of Daniel, you read in there the quality that brought him that fame, the responsibilities that were given to him in the land. He had a spirit of excellence. An excellent spirit. And then there was a young woman. Her name was Mary. And we all know of her. And she was highly favored and became the mother of our Lord and Savior. She had qualities of excellence that made her highly favored and chosen. Her purity, her humility, and her obedience. Qualities of excellence. Now I'm thinking in the Book of Mormon, a young man there had many older brothers, had other people who was with him that were older and more experienced. But Nephi became a leader, highly favored of the Lord because of his faith. Because of his diligence. He was a hard, diligent worker. He met his responsibilities with power, with all his strength. He fulfilled the will of the Lord. Qualities of excellence. But I'm afraid that in our society, day in the world, a lot of these qualities that a young man would develop in his life would seem to be weakness to people in the world. I'd like to just give you a little example. It's a man, a young man, well, he's a nice grown adult now, that lives in Yucatan. His name is Manuel Balam. And Maya Balam means tiger. Manuel Tiger. He lived in a little village called Concobchain. Rancho Concobchain. He had a lot of friends in the village. And when they finished their first 5 years of school, most of them quit going to school. Went to work. Manuel and many of his friends found a job in a factory in another town. I don't remember if it was in nearby Motul or if it was in Merida. But every day of the week, during the 5 days, working days, this factory sent a bus around to the villages around Yucatan. And young men who wanted to work got on the bus and they were taken to the factory. They worked a long day, maybe 11, 12 hours. And then in the night, in the evening, they came home. Manuel had a lot of friends from his village. They rode the bus every day. On Fridays, they got paid. Friday afternoon, when the day was over, they got their pay. And Manuel and his friends didn't go home. They stayed in town, drank beer, had a good time, doing whatever young guys did down there. And then when he's about 18 or 19, I can't remember, Manuel got married. They had a child. And then they had a child, and Manuel began to think, I need to change my life. I need to be more responsible, be a better example to my child. So one Sunday, he started going to the Church of Christ. They had a little group there. There wasn't a church building in that town, but they came. They just lived a couple of miles away from another town where there was a church building. and his family went to church, and Manuel began to go to church. One Sunday, he thought, I need to talk to my friends. So after the service, he walked all over that village, and he talked to his buddies. He said, I'm going to change my life. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm going to come home on Friday night. I have a family to take care of. I'm going to church. And you know, all his good friends, they changed his name. Manuel. They added an A to it. Manuela. He was now a girl in their sight. He wasn't a man anymore. That's the way the world is in a lot of respects. We're fortunate. We have good neighbors. We have good friends. We have close alliances with people who love the gospel. What a wonderful blessing it is. Lives we have to work, though. And we work with people that don't necessarily. But I think we live in a better environment. And the Lord helps us to live a better life than a lot of people do. These attributes that we just discussed, an excellent spirit, purity, humility, obedience, diligence. These qualities that we discussed were all qualities of Jesus. They were all qualities that he had in his life. And he told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That life that Jesus lived should be the pattern to which we look. Not necessarily the people we meet with and the people that we love. That life of Jesus, the qualities that he had placed in his life, they should be the things that help us. They should be the things that we should desire to develop in our own life. Jesus Christ. He developed qualities of excellence that made him exalted above all the things in the world. He started out life as a boy, just as many of us did. But these qualities of life became a part of him. They were him. He was our example in developing these various qualities of life. And they can be a help to us develop a life of excellence. I'd like to talk about five qualities of the Master. Five qualities that stood out in his life and that can help us develop a far better life than we ordinarily would. First of all, I'm going to ask Gary, thinking about the first quality, to read in 2 Nephi chapter 13. He's going to read verses 7 through 9.
And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have no need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh, he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments.
He was submissive to the will of God. That's a quality that is a little difficult for us in our life. Many people never completely submit to the desires and the will and the plan of God Almighty. That was his first act after he had met on a mountain and been attacked by Satan and resisted and defeated Satan. He walked down to the Jordan River where John was baptizing, and he was baptized, submitting himself to the will and the plan of God. Now, the second, we're going to ask Gary once again to read, this time in Hebrews chapter 5. He's going to read verses 8 and 9.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Obedience to his heavenly Father. And he asks us to be obedient also to the word of the Father. The word of the Father was what Jesus Christ brought to us, to the world. The Father's word. And he asks us to be obedient to that. How wonderful if we could be obedient to it to the extent that our Lord and Savior was obedient to it. But that was a quality that he had that magnified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a marvelous thing. And a third quality that he had was self-discipline. A hard quality to develop for many people. Self-discipline. Gary's going to read a few verses here. First of all, in Proverbs, just one verse in chapter 25, verse 26.
He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
To have not rule over your own spirit is like a city broken down and the walls falling apart. Self-discipline. Denying ourselves at times. Now in 1 John chapter 2, Gary's going to read verses 14 to 17.
I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the will of God abideth forever.
This quality of self-discipline is important, vitally important, overcoming the natural man, the natural woman. Overcoming the things of this world. Overcoming the temptations of life that come along. Overcoming so many things. What a long list of things we need to overcome in our life. That was a quality of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to us, blessed is he that overcometh, for I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. If we overcome the things of this world, the things of life, the temptations, the lusts of the flesh, of the mind, of the world, he will make us a pillar in his temple, the temple of God. What a wonderful quality. And a fourth quality, how vitally important it is, Sounds simple, but I don't believe it is. Our Savior Jesus Christ had a love for all mankind. Think about that. A love for all men. I'm sure that every one of us would be happy to say, I love everybody in the Church of Christ. I know them and I love them. But I think if we were sincere, we'd find that there are people in the Church of Christ that we truly love, and there are people that we think a little less of. Maybe some we don't really like or care for. That's easy to do. That's so human. Somebody I don't care for particularly. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, prove the sincerity of your love. Prove before God how sincere your love really is for all the fellow members of the Church of Christ. But Jesus had a quality. He loved all mankind. And that's what brought him to America. That's what brought him wherever he went and traveled among the Gentile people. The people of Samaria. Jesus went. When other Jews would rather than go through Samaria, if they wanted to go to Galilee, or if they lived in Galilee and they wanted to go to Jerusalem, they would walk across the Jordan River and down the eastern side of the Jordan River and then cross back over again. They wouldn't even set foot in the land of the Samaritans. But Jesus walked through their towns and he talked with them and he visited with them. We've all read the story. It's in the book St. John, chapter 4, of when Jesus took the disciples and walked through a city of Samaria. Well, they didn't go through the city. They were in a valley where the well was. And Jesus sat there by the well, and John and the others went up in the town and they bought food, for they had used up all their food. And while they were gone, a woman from Samaria came down. And Jesus conversed with her. And while he was talking with her, the disciples came back. And we read there in John, they were marveled at the fact that Jesus was talking to this Samaritan woman. But she went back up in the town and she told all the people the things that Jesus had said. And they came down and they talked to him. And they said, will you tarry a while with us? And Jesus stayed there in that Samaritan town for 2 days. And we read there in St. John, many of them became believers because of his words that he taught. How marvelous. He had a love for all mankind. Our ministry go out now and meet with people in Asia, meet with people in Africa that once we never did. And they have a growing respect for them. And these people, because of the words they hear and the example they see, unite with the Church of Christ. We have far many more members than we do here in the United States living in other countries. What a wonderful blessing. We need to do what Jesus did. We need to have a love for all men, all women. How marvelous. There was one other thing that I would like to mention here that was a quality of Jesus' life. the apostle. Paul spoke to Timothy, and he talked about another quality that's not necessarily easy to develop. Be pure. He said, be pure, Timothy. Have a pure heart. And our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of that. They who are pure of heart, will I make a pillar in my church, and they shall see God. Those who are pure in heart shall see God, shall be with Him. What a marvelous thing. What a marvelous blessing. And as we all know, as we walk along this life, there are many temptations, many challenges that come to us. Each of us have challenges in our life to make changes that appear to be difficult because we want to draw closer to a life of excellence. And when those challenges come, when the winds of life are blowing, there is an anchor for our soul. And I'd like Gary to read for us about that anchor in our, for our soul in 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 38 to 41.
And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore, I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord.
There is an anchor for our soul, something that will hold us fast. And when the things of the world are battering at us, when someone wants to change us, we must hold on to the Word of God. We must keep it in our minds. And to do that, we need to study it. We need to read it. We need to think about it. The words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Prophet Joel in the Old Testament, he lived about 800 years before Christ in a trying time. And Joel made a prophecy about the nations of the world were going to gather themselves together to destroy Israel. And the day of God's judgment was going to fall upon the world. 800 years ago, and that prophecy is not fulfilled yet. Here we are, we live in the time that that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. It's beginning to take place now. Nations that would love to destroy the land of Israel. And the coming judgment of God. Joel only got three chapters. And in chapter 3, there's a verse I like. I don't really care for all the verses in chapter 2. Telling about the judgment and about the desires of men. But in chapter 3, Joel writes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That is the day in which we live. The peoples of the world are living in the valley of decision. That decision needs to be made. We stand close to God's judgment over the world. These events are rapidly taking place. You young people, you young families, need to be working and thinking about raising your children in righteousness to live a life of excellence. Because we're going to see the day of God's judgment of mankind. God bless you each.